Years, there's been an outcry from artists claiming they aren't getting paid enough. Many musicians have argued that the music streaming giants' payout just aren't paying enough. And as of 2019, one streaming giant reported to pay between, listen to this, 0.00331 and 0.00437. That's not even a penny. That's not even 1p. Now, One Media IP specialises in purchasing and monetising intellectual property rights with proven repeat income streams. And the CEO of One Media and music expert Michael Infante joins us tonight. Hello, Michael. How are you?
I'm really good. Lovely to talk to you. How are you doing?
Lovely to talk to you too. I'm good. Thank you so much for asking. Now, Michael, tell me, what is One Media IP?
Okay, so we're a company that acquires music content. Now, that's either publishing or music rights, the recordings itself. We aggregate those recordings and then we distribute them to over 600 digital stores that you'll know, the Amazon, the Apples, the Spotify's, the Deezers, et cetera, et cetera. So our job is to take audio music, digitize it for the modern world, and then distribute it to all the digital stores.
So what are the music rights at the moment then?
A massive, great, big question. The first thing you've got to think about is that there are many derivatives of the way that music rights are monetized. Let's take the first thing, the fellow that writes a record. Let's talk about Lennon and McCartney. John Lennon and Paul McCartney, the most famous, they write a song like Yesterday. They are now the owners of the written words, the poetry, call it what you will, the lyrics. They then perform it, and they are now, they've created a new master, a recording. They then have the rights to publish that, use it in film, use it in records, use it in any particular way, form that they are, because they are the owners. They then do a deal with a record label that then represents them and then monetizes that for them moving forward. Each right generates a particular income stream. Let's talk about Bob Dylan just recently. Sold his publishing, i.e. the written word, for enormous sums of money a month ago. Yesterday, it was $400 million he sold that for.
No.
Yesterday he announced that, I think it was Sony that just paid for the master rights, the recordings are not $200 million. So you have several rights behind every song. And then you would normally have a record label that monetizes it for you and makes sure that it's doing the best. Now, you mentioned earlier about the pence or the micro cents per stream that's generated for a record player. If you imagined that back in the old days, we bought a CD, we bought an LP, or we bought a tape, you paid, let's say, anything from £5, £8, £10 for that product. Now, that was a one-off sale. You had to go to a record shop 30 years ago to buy it, and that was it. You know, there was no other royalty. You took it home, you played it, you shared it, you do it with your friend, you did whatever you wanted to do. All that's happened in generating a new right, a digital right, has changed the way that we consume music from modern world. Originally, it was digital downloads. You know, you went to Apple and iTunes and you downloaded an album and it cost you 79p a track or 10 tracks, £7.90. That's moved on. I mean, who'd have thought that vinyl would have outlived digital downloading? But it has. There's more vinyl now being sold than there is digital downloading because everything now has gone to streaming in the Spotify stroke model. Let's use that as an example. And every time you play a track now on your playlist, it generates it's not a defined amount of money. It can be a fraction of a penny. It can be a penny. It depends on the store that it's being, for instance, Tidal pay more money than Spotify, and YouTube have a different rate because it's ad funded as opposed to subscription. So there's no set rate for the stream. But what the artist is getting is a pence per rate per play, which if you think that record may have been deleted in the old formats, the record had been deleted, you wouldn't have been able to buy it in the old format today in a record store. Think about the 74 million tracks that are available on most digital stores. At least they're getting paid for every time it's played, and then it's down to the consumer. If you're One Direction or Adele, millions and millions of streams a day. If you're Michael Infante singing a song, nobody wants to stream it. So I can't complain about that because I've never sung a song in my life. But it comes down to popularity. You sing a song and it'll be worth millions, I'm sure.
Thanks, babe. I appreciate that, because I've just released some new music, so I appreciate that.
I know. Well, I had a good look before I came on air.
Wait, you've heard my music?
Of course I have. I think it's marvellous.
That's insane.
And if you haven't got a record label, come talk to us.
I haven't got one. I mean, I'll be in touch.
Come and talk to us.
Oh, gosh. So let me ask you this. Would you say, because you've just explained, you know, with the digital and buying a CD and all that kind of thing, who really was winning? In, like, people back then having that CD or the streams, and I don't mean in the sense of, like, you've got to be mega famous. I'm talking about the artists that are up and coming and things like that. People that aren't, you know, Ariana Grande and One Direction. I'm talking about the guy down the street in Coventry who's released about 7 albums, gets played on our BBC, introduce him, but he's not famous. Only the locals know about him.
I think the main difference between releasing a record these days and it was 25 years ago is the barrier to entry. 25 years ago, you had to go to a studio, you had to have money to go and cut a record, and there were a limited number of releases, so the market was smaller to compete within. The barrier to entry now to releasing a record is vast. You can listen and record on a computer at home, you can release a track tomorrow, put it up on CD Baby, and you are released. The marketing is what makes a record really fly. And if you're with a big record label, they have a huge amount of money to put into marketing. They'll get it in front of every listener. It'll be in a film. It'll be on TV. You'll get it posted everywhere. If you're a small band, a pub band in Coventry, the problem is you don't have that budget. You can record the record. You can put it up onto the, you know, Spotify's and the Amazons of this world, but you can't then draw the audience.
Right, okay, now I understand, but what are the risks and the rewards, of course, of buying shares in artists?
Well, the interesting thing, of course, the ones we're seeing traded, the Bob Dylans, the Abbas, more recently, there's been a flurry to the market in terms of legacy content being traded. These are typically artists that have probably been around 30, 40 years. They have a proven track record. Their music has become classics. They're played as much as Mozart and Tchaikovsky and Beethoven. Now, they've become household names globally. So consequently, they have a robust income stream. We call it a multiple the way we value that. So if you're the latest Bob Dylan, 200 mil that Sony have paid for that deal, looks like what we call a multiple of about 12 times. It was earning $16 million a year. They paid 200 mil. That's a multiple of about 12 times. So in 12 years, they'll get their money back so long as it keeps earning $16 million. It's not a bad investment. So consequently, when you've got deep pockets, you can make these big investments. In the same way as pension companies invest in stock shares and equities that secure your pension. Sometimes they go up, sometimes they go down. There is a risk.
So is that why more people are buying shares then, because of those rewards?
Correct. And most of the companies that are buying them, and let's take a company like us, we're a publicly listed company on the AIM market. Once we make profits, which we do, and we have done for many years, we pay dividends. So once you buy shares in One Media, you're buying effectively a share in a company that's trading in many, many different categories of music. We're agnostic to a particular genre. We have country, pop, kids, etc. If you're Sony or if you're Universal or one of the major companies, then, you know, you're buying a share effectively in an investment company that is very, very deep pockets and values of $5 and $10 billion.
Amazing. Do you know what? This is all blowing my mind because it's something that I've never really understood. But, Michael, stay right there with me because we're going to go to a track, and then when we come back, we want to hear more. So skinless.